Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. It's an interesting story. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 6. When it was Herod's birthday, I want you to notice something. When it was Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. So there's this party going on. And this woman starts dancing. Verse 7, so much. You ever dance so much? I'll explain what that means. That he promised an oath to give her whatever she asked. Having been prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. It's a crazy birthday present. She said, I want the head of John the Baptist. And look at verse 11. The Bible says, and his head was brought on the platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took away the body and buried it. And they went and reported it to Jesus. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from that place by himself. So Jesus hears about his cousin John and his death. And Jesus' reaction was just to withdraw and be alone. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this word. I pray, God, today as we get ourselves together, that this word would just change lives and you would speak through me, Lord. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So there's this party going on. There's this birthday party. They're celebrating Herod's birthday. And as they're celebrating, this young girl comes out and begins to dance. Now, this wasn't this ordinary dance. This was, the Bible says, so much. Now, when the Bible uses the word so much, it really identifies with the word intense. So she was dancing intensely, so much that when Herod saw her, he said, girl, you can have whatever you want. The Bible records that he even promised up to half the kingdom. I don't know what type of dance this was, but it was so much that, you know, maybe some of you guys can relate that you see a girl dancing like that and you're like, girl, let me pay your bills. Here's my car, have the house, have my life, have it all. Some of you ladies can relate to this dance before Jesus. Some of you don't want to remember those days, but you know, some of you relate to her. You say, Pastor, I can explain what this passage means because before Jesus, I used to drop it like it was that hot. It was so scorching. I know what that is. I know what that means to dance that way. That's when the Bible says she danced so much that he was willing to give her anything. So I started thinking about this dance, and this dance had to have been so intense. I mean, so this woman, whatever she did, however she danced, it was so provocative, it was so intense that Herod just says, whatever you want, baby, it is yours. And she, then y'all get it now, right? All right. Just painting a picture. It was so bad that till this day, this is why Baptists don't dance. It's just too painful, a memory. Right? I don't know. I just thought about that right now. I was like, maybe I'm on to something. I don't know. But this dance was crazy, all right? It was just crazy. Let me say what you can relate to, though. Unexpected bad news. That's what the Bible says. It was unexpected news. Bad news. Jesus is serving God. He's in ministry. He's helping people. He's doing good. He is good. He's perfect. And even Jesus had a bad day. Bad days will come. You can't avoid them. Doesn't matter how great you are. what good you do for others, how much you love God, how much you serve Him. Jesus is a prime example. You can be perfect and sinless and still have bad news come. It's everywhere. He gets an unexpected visit from His disciples and they said, Jesus, you're not going to believe this, but your cousin John is dead. Now, Jesus just, He said nothing. Nothing. Have you ever been speechless over what you're going through? Have you ever been out of words because of a circumstance in your life? I mean, Jesus would often preach in a situation like this. He would often teach an example, give a parable, something. But Jesus said nothing. But withdrew Himself to be alone. Why? Well, because Jesus, yes, He's God. But Jesus was also human. And Jesus in His humanity needed to be alone and He needed to cry. Many of you have to understand there is nothing wrong as a believer in those seasons of life that you just have to withdraw. That you just have to be alone. You don't always have to be laughing. You don't always have to smile. You don't have to always say everything's fine. Everything is good. Glory to God. There are moments in your life that it is perfectly reasonable for you to withdraw and be alone. Jesus was humble enough to say, I'm just going to withdraw. And be alone right now. Why? Because He loved John. They grew up together. John was a great man. It was John that baptized him. It was John that first introduced them into the ministry. It was John that spoke of Jesus in a great manner. It was John that decreased so that Jesus would increase. They had such a bond. It was John that just leaped in the womb of his mother when Jesus wasn't even born yet. They had such a bond. Now He's gone. You learn through Jesus a powerful principle. You can't always be strong. You're not always going to be okay. You can't always be the hero in the story. The one that saves the day. You don't always have to be the spiritual one. Jesus didn't say anything, didn't preach, didn't teach, didn't pray, did nothing. He didn't even tell His disciples, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Because the truth is, the situation was not fine. The situation was not okay. And maybe what you're going through right now is not okay. Maybe what you're suffering right now is not fine. But listen, I understand when you say, I need to be alone. I understand when you say, I don't want to be with people right now. I understand when you say, I just can't be around a crowd right now. I just need to be alone right now. I just need to cry right now. Because Jesus did the same. Jesus was often introduced with bad news. All the time they would say, Jesus, my daughter is dead. And Jesus, I'm going through this. And Jesus, you need to fix this. You need to fix that. And Jesus always came through and He always had a word for someone. When Lazarus died, Jesus told His disciples, it's fine. This is going to end for my Father's glory. Jesus knew the outcome, that Lazarus was going to rise again. So He was okay. When Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of His closest friends, Jesus didn't grumble. Jesus didn't complain. Jesus didn't get bitter. Why? Because Jesus knew the outcome, that that betrayal would lead Him to the cross, ultimately to the Father's glory. So that was okay. But for the first time ever, when Jesus is told John is dead, He is speechless and says nothing but to withdraw and be alone. Why? Because I believe Jesus knew the outcome. And if Jesus wanted to, he could have saved John right there on the spot, because he pulled Peter out of prison. He pulled Paul out of prison through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God could have saved John, but it didn't. Jesus knew that if he wanted to, he could have gone there and resurrected that body and put the head back together, because there is no limit to his power. But he knew he couldn't do that. I believe that Jesus was speechless because for the first time, God revealed to him, he's not coming back. It's over. It happened. There's no resurrection. There's no miracle. There's no revival. John is dead. Have you ever thought to yourself, why does God not come through for me? Why does God not deliver me? Why does God allow this in my life? Sometimes the outcome is not what you want. Sometimes you're going to go through things even when you're innocent. John was innocent, yet thrown in prison. John was serving God, yet beheaded. So sometimes the outcome is not going to be what you want. Sometimes it is going to come back cancer. Sometimes it is going to end in divorce. Sometimes it is death, job loss. Sometimes it's not going to happen for you. Doors will close. There are those moments that the outcome is not what you wanted. It is in these moments and these seasons that Christians go through, that you're hurt, that you're broken, that you're suffering, that you're sad, that you just need to be alone. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how faithful you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're capable of, what your talents are, what you possess in the bank account, how strong, how mighty you think you are. There are seasons in your life that are so hard that you just want to withdraw and be alone. There are those times you're saying, Pastor, it's just too hard. I just need to withdraw and be alone. This is what Moses went through. The pressure of leading people was so much that he withdrew, the Bible says, to the top of a mountain to be alone. And it was in that lonely place he told God, do me a favor, can you kill me? Can you take my life? It was when Elijah was alone that he didn't want to eat, he didn't want to be with people, and he just wanted to sleep all day. That's depression. And in that lonely depression, he said, God, just take my life. It was Job that got alone by himself. He withdrew from everyone and he got alone and he cut himself and he poured ashes on himself and he asked God, please curse me. I want to die. It was David that got alone when his son died and he begged God, please heal him. Please save him. And God did not come through the way David wanted to, and David got alone with himself. Loneliness happens when you're going through trials. It's common in our nature to withdraw. It's common in our nature to be discouraged. It's common in our nature to say, is life even worth living now because I'm going through this? But I want to tell you something this morning. In verse 14, as I read this passage, Jesus is just so awesome. The Bible says when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them. And he healed the sick. You know what it is that Jesus couldn't even find time for himself? The second he got to shore, someone came up to him and said, Jesus, I got problems. If you're in ministry, you understand that. If you're a leader in the church, you understand that sometimes your problems don't have to be on hold because other people need you. Jesus got to shore. And when he looked, he saw problems in other people. He looked, he saw sick people. When he looked, he saw dying people. When he looked, he saw hopeless people. When he looked, he saw people that needed help. What I love about Jesus is when he got to shore and the disciple says, listen, this crowd, we couldn't prevent them from following you. They found out where you were. They found your location. They have problems. They're trying to find you. They're trying to reach you. They want your help. Jesus didn't say, well, what about me? Jesus didn't say, well, I got problems too. Jesus didn't say, these people are so selfish. Jesus didn't say, this isn't right, this isn't fair. Don't they see that my best friend, my cousin John, just died and I can't even catch a break for one day? There was something about Jesus when he got to shore and he saw the hurting people. Something in him felt compassion. Compassion is an attitude. Compassion is love. Compassion is wanting to reach the needs of others. So there was something in Jesus that said, no matter what I go through, one thing I will never lose is my compassion. If you have lost your compassion because of what you're going through, you are living wrong. Compassion says, I will care for others even when no one has cared for me. Compassion says, I will serve others even when no one is serving me. Compassion says, I will give to others even when no one has given to me. Jesus got on shore. He didn't complain. He wasn't bitter. He didn't have a bad attitude. He wasn't rude. He wasn't moping around. On the contrary, he had compassion. Sometimes life gets so hard you can lose compassion. Someone comes up to you and says, I have an issue. In your mind you say, so what? Get over it. You've lost compassion. You see someone going through something, a struggle, a sin. The first reaction you said, well, they're wrong. They shouldn't even be doing that. I don't know what's wrong with them. They've been saved long enough to know that is not right. You've lost compassion. You're easy to be critical of others. You're easy to find fault in others. You're easy to be negative about others. You've lost compassion. Jesus never lost his compassion even when he was going through one of the hardest times of his life, the death of John. You know, some of us think because we're having a bad day, it's okay not to have compassion. You come home angry, a rough day from work, you think that you have a license to treat your spouse wrong, your kids wrong. You're having a bad life, so you treat everyone else bad. Life isn't fair, so you're not going to be fair. Life is ugly, so you get ugly. Jesus never matched his attitude with his circumstances. That's good. Let me get that for you. Jesus' attitude never matched his circumstance. And some of you are conditional with your attitude. If life is good, I'm good. But if life is bad, get out, withdraw, because I'm vicious. Jesus wasn't like that. See, there's a difference. When I travel and I go to a hotel, there's two things I notice. There's a do not disturb sign that I can put on my door slot. And then there's another option for me to check out of the hotel completely. Here's the difference. Do not disturb means don't bother me right now. I want rest. I need sleep. You can come back later. But when I check out, it means I'm gone. I'm out. I'm not coming back. Let me ask you this morning, when it comes to your hotel in life, do you put the do not disturb or do you check out? Here's the difference. You can say, I'm having a rough day. I need to be alone right now. I'm going through some difficulties right now. I just need to take a vacation. I need to relax. I need to go play golf. I need to swim in the pool. I need to relax and pray and read my Bible. Do whatever you want to do. Go work out, whatever. But just say, it's a do not disturb moment. That's okay. But some of you, no. Some of you say, no. I'm checking out. It's over. I'm not coming back. I'm checking out of this life. Your situation, your season is so hard, whatever that person did, and now you say, no, I'm just checking out. I'm checking out of this marriage. What does that mean? We're going to stay married, but we're not going to talk. We're not going to communicate. We're not going to spend time together. I'm going to be mean. You're going to be meaner. I'm checking out. We're going to stay married for the sake of our reputation and our kids, but I'm checking out. You know how many couples are married, but they check out. It's okay when you're married to put the do not disturb. The Bible says it. Go be alone with God. And then after you're done being alone, get back and give him your body. That's what the Bible says. All the guys said, amen. I like that. Where's that verse? Let me find it. You know, you're Googling it right now, you sicko. Some people check out of marriage. Some people check out of church. You come every Sunday, but you checked out. You're like the walking dead. You're a walker. You're a zombie. You're alive, but you look dead to me. You come into church, but during worship, you're just there. You've checked out. You hear the message. You're like, I see you right now. What? You checked out. Why? Because I'm going through stuff. I just don't feel it. Life is hard. I've been burned, and you've checked out. Some of you have just checked out of relationships. You've gone through so much. You say, all men are dogs. And you've checked out. You're not putting a do not disturb sign. I'm going to take a break for a minute. I'm going to be single for a little bit. No, some of you say, never, ever, I've checked out. You've checked out of life. You're living, but you're not alive. You've lost joy, you've lost peace, you've lost confidence, you've lost hope. There's no expectations of anything good anymore. You're just there. Have you been just there? You know what I'm talking about? You're just there. It's sad when people check out. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. But maybe God's nudging you right now and says he's talking to you. I miss you. You checked out when you went through that. You checked out when you got sick. You checked out when that person left you. You checked out when you lost that. And you're going through life and you're just there. You go to work, but you checked out. You come home to your kids, but you've checked out. What a sad life to live, because I believe that life is too short and God is too good to be checking out. So God is all for the do not disturb moments of life. The moments that you say, I need to be alone right now. I need time to breathe. I need time to relax. I need to turn off the phone. I need to disconnect from social media. I need a vacation. I need a break. God's not mad at you when you put do not disturb in your life. You know, right now I'm putting up one of those signs next week. I'm going to go away for a week just to relax and read my Bible and get away from you. I love you. I love you. I'll be back. I'm not checking out. But look at my eyes. I need sleep. It's crazy. You're making yourself miserable because you've decided to just live defeated. You've decided to live bitter. You've decided to be just angry, upset all the time. You'd resolve just to talk about it all the time. You just talk about it. You talk about it with your friends. You talk about it to yourself looking crazy. You talk about it to anyone you meet. You don't even know the person at Starbucks, but there you are talking about it, making yourself miserable. Who am I preaching to this morning? That you've checked out? Jesus didn't check out. Jesus didn't say, listen, I'm done. That was hard. That wasn't fair. I mean, God killed my cousin John. I can't understand that. Jesus just said, do not disturb me right now. I need to be alone. I need to cry right now. I need to pray right now. I don't need to give hugs. I don't need to be kissing people. I don't need to be praying for others. I don't need to be doing the Bible studies right now. I just need a break. That's okay. I love it when my leaders in church come up to me and say, Pastor, I need a break. I said, take all the time you want. Just come back to me fresh. Jesus put a do not disturb. I need to be alone. It hurts. It's too hard. Aren't you grateful for a God that says, I'll never check out on you? It may feel like I just went away. It may feel like I'm quiet right now. It may feel like I'm not around right now. But God never checks out on you. In fact, when Jesus got to shore, you know what he was saying? I'm back. I just needed a moment to cry. It hurt. I just needed a break. But when Jesus landed to shore, he said, I'm back. I'm back. I'm not finished. I got a job to do. People need me right now. And I want to tell you right now, you better get back because people need you. Your kids need you. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. And you need to come back and say, I needed a break. It hurt. I went through a season. It was hard. But I'm back right now because I believe God has this message for you that this is the season that you're coming back from your moment of do not disturb me, from your moments of hardship, from your moments of loneliness and depression and discouragement. Don't you just want to come back? Let me tell you why. Because God is not done with you. God is not finished with you. But Pastor, it hurt. Pastor, it was difficult. I understand. Jesus understands that. But you need to come back. Because God has a plan for your life. Whatever happened yesterday, don't let it affect today where it interrupts your tomorrow. God is not done with the future. He's planned for you. So God says you need to wake up. You need to stop checking out. I know you're going through a lot. I know it's a season of hardship. I know it hurt when you went through whatever you went through. But God is saying right now, get yourself together. Come on, church, help me preach this message today. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now and tell them, get yourself together. Come on, shake them, nudge them, do something. Even all those around you that are checked out right now, you know who they are. If you're just sitting like that, that's who you need to punch right now. Don't punch them. And say, get yourself together. Let me tell you something about God. He's nice. Amen. But he's tough. He's tough. He's like my mom. How many know my mom's nice? Some of you are like, eh? Queen Khan's looking at you. You ever been counseled by my mom, Queen Khan? No? Sometimes I look at her counseling, I'm just like. Because she tells it like it is. Let me tell you, where did she get that from? God. Amen. God's not looking at you right now. Let me tell you the last thing God is feeling. Sorry for you. You think that God is looking at you right now saying, oh, I can't believe that happened. You think God is looking at you right now with pity? You think God is looking at you and he's saying, oh, I just feel so bad for you. God doesn't feel sorry for you because whatever happened, God allowed it. Hello? And it was for a reason. And it's for a purpose that far outweighs your ideas or understanding. So God has a plan for your life. And He's not looking at you saying, go ahead, check out, because that was hard, that was brutal, that was difficult. I understand if you want to check out of your life. I understand if you want to check out of family. Hey, I even understand if you want to check out on me, because you are going through it. The last thing God feels, in fact, I don't think God ever feels sorry. I don't think that. I think the devil is the one that puts that feeling in you. You should feel sorry for yourself. Be sad. Discouraged. Depression. Get lonely. The devil doesn't want you coming back. I think on that boat, it was Jesus and Satan. I honestly believe that Satan's there in that boat with Jesus saying, how can God do this to you? I thought God loved you. I thought God was faithful. God said you were His son, and He kills your cousin. And He didn't even kill the bad one. He killed the good one. But Jesus was like, I can't check out. God needs me. God's not done with me. I need to come back. See, God is not a type of God that feels sorry for you. You think He does. You think God is there crying with you. I've seen paintings like that. It makes me laugh. It does. I saw one that Jesus was holding this guy and they were both crying. I'm like, really? 1 Samuel 16:1. Let me prove to you the tough love that God has when He says, get yourself together. Samuel was a great man of God. He loved Saul. Saul was the king of all kings. He was just amazing. And the only reason, because he was the first king, he had nothing to compare him to. But when Saul lost everything, did you know that Samuel went through a season where he had a do not disturb, but that do not disturb was turning into a moment of checking out? He was so sad over Saul. He said, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve for Saul? You know, I love God because He said, how long are you going to be this miserable? I wonder if God is looking at you right now. And He's asking that same profound question. How long is this going to last? Let me know. How long are you going to be pitiful? Let me know how long you're going to be sad. How long? And tell me when you're finished so I can finish my work in your life. God said to him, how long? Samuel's like, however long I want. No. He was saying this in a sarcastic way. How long will you grieve for Saul since I've rejected him? And here's the thing. He wasn't insensitive, but he was telling Samuel, Samuel, you're crying over Saul way too long. Let me tell you, so I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you're crying over him way too long. Way too long. And God is looking, and let me tell you why God says this to you. How long? Because notice what He says after. I've rejected him from being Israel's king. Now, fill your horn with oil and go. You got to understand this, because he would carry this horn of oil. The oil was a symbol of the Spirit of God and His favor and His love, and it was used to anoint the kings. So he used up all that oil on King Saul. So it was empty. It was dry. Let me tell you what happens when you check out. Let me tell you what happens when you live long enough, depressed and discouraged over the sorrows of your life. There comes a point that you run up empty and dry yourself. The oil was a symbol of the Spirit. And let me tell you, a lot of people become spiritually dry and empty because they check out and refuse to get over their past. And the first thing God tells him is, go and fill yourself up again. I feel like God's going to fill you up again. I feel like God's going to refill you with hope, refill you with purpose, refill you with joy because you've run dry. It's the saddest thing when you run dry. And God says, how long are you going to stay this way? And when God asked that, you know what he was saying? It's been long enough. I think God is tired of you just moping around in life. Because if you're here today, which you are, if you're alive today, which you are, that means that God isn't done with you. And God has a purpose for you. He says, go and fill yourself again. I'm going to send you to Jesse's house. Because I've brought a king. And he's talking about David, who was way better than Saul, who was mightier than Saul. Most Davids are very strong and attractive and humble and amazing. It's amazing. It's just biblical. But I want to tell you. It's in the Bible. Don't correct me. But let me tell you something. You're crying over Saul when God has a David for you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're there checking Saul's Instagram and Facebook. You're there talking about Saul. And it's like, get over Saul. David is coming, girl. David is coming. Way better than what you lost. Way better than what you're crying over right now. In fact, when you see what I get done and what I have for you, you're going to look back in your life and say, man, I wasted so much time on Saul. I wasted so much time crying. I wasted so much time being dry and empty. God, I am sorry. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Come back. Let me close with this one here. God said, how long? Jesus took a break. Jesus got to shore. The emotions didn't go away. He was still sad. I'm not telling you not to be sad. I'm not telling you not to be discouraged. I'm not telling you not to feel broken. It's going to happen. Whatever you went through, that was hard. Whatever you suffered, I can't believe you suffered that. The emotions were still there in Jesus. But Jesus was never led by his emotions. That's where he got it right. Some of you are led by your emotions so much. That's why you're so empty. That's why you're so dry. That's why you're so down. That's why it's been so long and you can't come back. You can't get over it. You've checked out because you're being led not by God, but by your feelings, how you feel, your emotions. I'm sad. I feel sad. Therefore, I am sad. I feel angry. Therefore, I am angry. No, God says you can separate what you feel from what you do. You may feel sad, but you still got to come back and do what you got to do. You might be sad, but you still got to raise those kids. You might be heartbroken, but you still got to go to work. You might be discouraged. You might be empty. You may be dry. You may be going through a season, but don't you check out. Because God is not done. You know, God teaches me. He teaches this all the time to me. There's days that, man, life is so hard, but I can't get a break. I got a job to do. Jesus looks to the crowd and says, I'm not done. You got to tell that devil, I'm not done. I'm coming back. Yeah, devil, I needed some alone time. Yeah, I needed to withdraw. But I'm coming back. If you feel like you've checked out, you got to get yourself together. Because God's not done with you. Joshua 1:2 is one of my favorite verses because it's the first time you see God is not sorry for you. You know, in the Old Testament, God put a rule that if you were mourning, you were sad, you had 1 month. 1 month to cry, 1 month to withdraw, 1 month to be alone, 1 month to be miserable. And God said, when that month is over, you better come back to me. Everyone's sad because of Moses. Moses was awesome. They loved him. Only when he was dead, but when they were with him, they treated him horribly. Isn't that how it is in life? I love what happened because Joshua, he loved Moses. He loved Moses. And I want you to think about your Moses right now. Now, Joshua was crying. Joshua was alone. And God shows up. And you think that if God sees you crying and sad, he would have a little sympathy to say, it's okay. It's okay, come here. God shows up and says, Joshua. Yes, Lord. Moses is dead. I think Joshua knew that. But you know what I believe God was saying there? Hey, let me get your attention for a second. I see you crying. I see you moping around. I see you sad all the time. Hey, come here. Yes, God? It happened. It happened. Notice what he says after. He says, Moses is dead. He's gone. He ain't coming back. Therefore, what's that next word? He said, get up. Get yourself up. Why? Because you're going to cross into better things. The Jordan River, you're going to cross that to the promised land, to better a future, a hope, and plans. What I'm getting done with you is so much better, but you need to get over Moses. He's dead. He's gone. I feel like the Spirit of God is telling you right now, it happened. It happened. God knows it. He reminds you, it happened. Now what? What are you going to do about it? It happened. Are you going to sit around, mope around, and cry, and check out? Or are you going to trust me and cross into the next level of what I have for you? What are you going to do? Are you going to sit around and complain and be negative and lose compassion now that you have gone through your season of do not disturb, Joshua? I want to remind you, it happened. You need to get up, get over it. He literally said, get over it. That's what it means to cross the Jordan. God said, get up and get over it. Get up and get over it. Get yourself together. This is tough love, I know, because you want a church that says, it's hard, it's sorry, it's okay. Let me tell you, I'm tired of dry people. I'm tired of seeing empty people. I'm tired of seeing people check out. It's not fair to God, because God's not done with you. But God cannot do anything in the life of a believer who's checked out. I think that this is the day that marks the day God said to you, enough's enough. Whatever you went through, it happened. Enough's enough. Whatever you're crying about, enough. Whatever you're hurt about, enough. Whatever you got yourself all worked up about, whatever you keep talking about, whatever you're discouraged, whatever you're afraid about, it happened. What are you going to do? Is God good? Is God faithful? Is God done with you just because you're done with him or life? No. God has better things for you. Jesus understood that. He said, I can't check out. There's a cross in my future. I can't check out. There's a world I need to save. I can't check out. This was hard. I needed a break. I needed to be alone. I needed to cry. I needed to put a do not disturb at the moment right now. But when I get to shore, I'm coming back. I'm rising up and I'm going to finish what God has started. And in Jesus' name, you're going to finish what God has called in your life, because you're telling that devil right now, enough is enough, devil. I am tired of being tired. I'm tired of checking out. I'm tired of being empty and dry. God has a David in my future. Can I tell you something? Oh boy, oh boy. You can't get over it until you get over it. He told Joshua, you need to get over Moses so you can get over the river Jordan. You can't get over it. You can't get over it. If you can't get over your past, you can't get over to your future. If you can't get over yesterday, you can't embrace the future that God has for you tomorrow. Let's all get up right now. Get up. And just tell yourself, enough is enough. Why don't you hug your neighbor? Get touchy with them. Embrace someone today. Embrace them. You're a church. This is an awesome church. And I want to tell you, you need to just smack people around you and say, I needed this, and I know you needed it more. Enough is enough. You quit your crying. You quit your complaining. You quit your fussing, because God says, get over it so you can get over it. Get over the past so you can get into the future that I have for you. Because Moses is dead. But inside you, he's still alive. It's like he never left. Listen. Can y'all let Moses die already? Let him rest in peace. Who am I preaching to? Let him rest in peace. So you can give yourself peace. And get yourself together. Today marks the day. Mark the calendar. Do it. I don't know. But today marks your month that God says, it's over. It's time to get up. It's time to cross to the next level. It's time to get yourself together. I know you love John. I know you love Saul. I know you love Moses. But they're gone. And I have so much more for you, God says. But you need to trust Him. God has had enough. God is telling you right now, it happened. It happened. They did what they did. They said what they said. You went through whatever you went through. What are you going to do now? Have you allowed the devil to rob you of the destiny that God has for you? Because he wants you to stay in that season of checking out. So God is all for it. He's all for do not disturb moments. If anyone says, I need to be alone right now, there's nothing wrong with that. As a believer, you may have all the faith in the world, but sometimes it's not okay. Sometimes you're not fine. Sometimes you need to be alone. Sometimes you're not spiritual. You don't have all the answers. Sometimes you're not as strong as you appear to be. Go ahead. Do not disturb. But I want to see you back. Let's pray. Take a moment right now to yourself. Take a moment right now. And I want you to think about who your John, who your Moses, who your Saul is. They represent people in the past, things in the past that God just took away. They represent seasons in your life that were hard. John, Moses, and Saul represent times in your life that you cried, They represent moments that got you depressed and discouraged. They represent pain and suffering. And today God says, your season of mourning is over. God is asking you right now, how long are you going to stay this way? Do you trust Him? Do you believe Him? Or will you continue to be led by your emotions and miss out on the greatness of what God has for your life? If this is you this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, there's a promised land in your future. There's a David in your future. There is glory. There is honor. There is praise in tomorrow, while today you may be hurting. You may be suffering. But the Bible promises God will finish what He has started. The Bible promises that your latter days will be better than your former days. So forever I'm talking to who says, my best days are behind me, you don't know Jesus. For anyone that says, I'll never be happy again, you're not reading the Word. Because the Word of God says He has a plan for your life and a future hope. So though you have been through a season that you don't want to be disturbed, you don't want to be with people, don't you ever allow that season to rob you of your compassion. You are here for a reason. You are here for a divine purpose. People need you right now. God needs you right now. So you better get yourself together. You better get up, because God says it is enough. I've had enough of your complaining. God has had enough of your crying. God has had enough of depression. God has had enough of negative thoughts. God has had enough. And today He says, rise. Get up. Because the past is dead, but the future is still here. If you're here today, I don't know who I'm preaching to. But can you be as bold enough to confess to the Lord that you've checked out? Right where you're at, you just tell God, God, I've checked out. I'm just there. I'm just a presence. But I've lost hope. I've lost faith. I've lost joy. I've lost compassion. If you've checked out, it's time to check in. It's time for you to acknowledge that whatever happened, happened. It's time for you to acknowledge the past is dead. It's time for you to acknowledge that God says, how long are you going to be this way? Because I have a better thing for you tomorrow. If you've checked out, but you're checking in today, and you're saying, God, I'm rising. I'm coming back. Restore the joy of my salvation. Restore my peace. Forgive me for checking out. My do not disturb season turned into a checking out lifetime. Somehow your season of do not disturb, you checked out. You checked out of your life. You checked out of your family. You checked out of your marriage. You've checked out of church. You've checked out. You can always check in. You can get back to who you used to be. Joy can come back. In Jesus' name, it's coming back to someone today. Show me your hands if you've checked out. You're saying, Pastor, I've checked out. Show me your hands. God bless you. I see you all across the room. You're not the only one across the room and listening online. I know you're saying, God, I've checked out. What a horrible way to live. God has so much more for you. So if you need to be alone, that's okay. If you need to cry, that's fine. But don't turn a season into a lifetime. That's the word for today. Don't turn a season of discouragement into a lifetime of discouragement. Don't turn a season of anger into a lifetime of anger. Don't turn a season of loneliness into a lifetime of loneliness. Are you guys getting this? Trust God and come back. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every soul here, every person listening online, every person listening in their car, who right now has checked out. They've checked out of life. They wake up and they're checked out. They go to bed checked out. All day in between, they've checked out, God. There's no excitement in their life. There's no enthusiasm. There's no joy any longer. Father, because we love and cared about Moses. We cherish the days of Saul. We just remember the days of John. And those were good times in our lives. But God, you stripped it from us. But Lord, you are sovereign. And we trust you. For anyone here, in Jesus' name, whoever you're thinking about is gone. Now let him go. Whatever you went through, you are going to get through. Now let God work. Because God has had enough. In Jesus' name. And by the authority of God. And in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you bind any demonic spirit that has robbed them of their joy, any oppression, any bondage, any person that has checked out because they know, God, of what they've lost. Father, the devil knows their potential and their power. That's why he wants them to check out. Because he knows that the second they check in, there's going to be revival, there's going to be soul saved, there's going to be transformation. Just like Jesus, when he got to shore, he changed the lives of thousands. The devil didn't want that. He wanted him to stay on that boat and to check out. But Jesus said, no, this is just a season of do not disturb me, but I'm coming back because God is not done with me. And I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, you are coming back. God is not done with you. He has a future. He has a plan. He has a purpose. So you tell that devil, I've had enough. Enough is enough. I'm coming back. I'm moving forward. I'm getting over it. It is dead. It is finished. And God is going to finish what he has started. In Jesus' name, be free from depression and discouragement. In Jesus' name, walk forward with gladness and joy. Restore the joy of their salvation, Lord, and bring sanity back into their mindset that they have been defeated. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we are more than conquerors. We are victors, not victims. For Father, help us to rise into our future, to rise over yesterday. And Father, help us to get ourselves together again. In Jesus' name. Can you let Moses die, church? Can you let Saul go? Can you let John go? It's hard to hear this. But sometimes God says, they're not coming back. But I got David for you. It's not getting better right now. It's not going to end well. John's not going to rise. John is going to die. But there's a cross in the future. And glory's going to come out of this. So whatever you're going through, get over it so you can get over it. And get over to the future God has for you. So you receive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Are you glad for some tough love? I know that was a hard one to listen to. I know that you guys were blessed by that message. I know I was. I was afraid to preach it, to tell you the truth. Honestly, God, they might behead me. I don't know. It's hard to listen. You want to go to a church that says, it's okay. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you need a church that says, enough's enough.